Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Building Thinking Classrooms in Mathematics, Grades K-12 by Peter Liljedahl is a professional education book focused on mathematics instruction and classroom design, published by Corwin in 2020. It presents a research-based framework for helping teachers create conditions where students spend more time genuinely thinking about mathematics rather than merely following. Procedures. The book is written for teachers across kindergarten through high school, and it combines educational research with practical classroom guidance. Its central purpose is to challenge familiar school routines that often produce passive compliance instead of deep learning. Liljedahl organizes his approach around 14 teaching practices that affect how tasks are chosen, how students work together, where they work, how teachers respond, and how learning is assessed and consolidated, rather than offering isolated tips. The book describes an integrated model for building a classroom culture centered on problem-solving, collaboration, autonomy, and mathematical sense-making. It has become influential because it gives educators both a strong rationale and concrete methods for transforming everyday math instruction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, replacing non-thinking routines with a culture of mathematical thinking. A central idea in the book is that many traditional math classrooms unintentionally support non-thinking. Students may appear busy, but much of their work can involve copying procedures, waiting for directions, or trying to match a demonstrated method instead of reasoning through ideas. Liljedahl argues that these patterns are not simply individual teaching habits. Teacher-centered explanations, note-taking before sense-making, and tasks that reward imitation over exploration. The book stands out because it does not stop at critique. It identifies specific practices that can interrupt these routines and replace them with conditions that make thinking more likely. This shift is not framed as a minor adjustment, but as a redesign of classroom culture. In a thinking classroom, students are expected to engage, struggle productively, collaborate, and test ideas. The teacher is still highly intentional, but the role changes from delivering methods to creating opportunities for reasoning and discussion. This topic matters because it establishes the book's broader mission. Deep learning in mathematics depends not only on curriculum content, but on the daily structures that either invite or suppress student thought. Secondly, using rich tasks and purposeful sequencing to spark engagement. The book places strong emphasis on the kinds of tasks students are asked to do, but Liljedahl distinguishes between work that keeps students occupied and work that genuinely provokes mathematical thinking. Rich tasks are important because they create a need for students to make sense of ideas, test strategies, notice patterns, and communicate reasoning. These tasks are not valuable merely because they are difficult or unfamiliar. Their power comes from requiring students to think rather than recall a rehearsed procedure. The book also addresses how tasks should be introduced and sequenced so that students remain intellectually involved. That means avoiding structures that reduce curiosity too early, such as over-explaining before students begin. Instead, the teacher launches students into meaningful work and allows productive struggle to play a central role in learning. Sequencing matters as well, because one task can prepare students for another, building momentum across a lesson or unit. In this way, the classroom becomes a place where mathematics unfolds through inquiry and connected experiences rather than isolated exercises. This topic is one of the book's most practical strengths, since it helps teachers rethink not just what they teach, but how instructional flow can either energize or flatten student thinking. Thirdly, visible random grouping and collaboration as engines for learning. One of the most widely discussed features of building thinking classrooms is its advocacy for visibly random groups that change frequently. Liljedahl presents this practice as a way to break down social and academic patterns that can limit participation. When students always choose their partners or are grouped in predictable ways, status hierarchies often harden. Some students become dependent, some dominant, and others withdraw. Random grouping changes the social dynamics by making collaboration an ordinary expectation rather than a negotiated choice. The visible aspect is important because students need to see that the grouping is genuinely random and not a hidden teacher judgment. The book also emphasizes small group size, since groups that are too large can allow passivity. In a thinking classroom, collaboration is not simply about being together. It is about sharing partial ideas, building on one another's reasoning, and reducing dependence on the teacher as the sole authority. This practice supports both academic and cultural change in the classroom. Students become more willing to engage with a wider range of peers, and mathematical ideas move more freely across the room. The result is a stronger sense of community and a more active distribution of thinking among students. Fourthly, classroom space, teacher moves, and student autonomy. Liljedahl pays close attention to the physical and relational structures of classroom life. He argues that where students work and how teachers interact with them significantly shape the quality of thinking that occurs. The book is well known for promoting student work in shared visible spaces, such as vertical non-permanent surfaces, because these spaces encourage standing, active collaboration, revision, and public reasoning. Compared with sitting individually at desks, working visibly and collectively can increase participation and make ideas easier to compare and discuss. The teacher role also changes within this environment. Rather than rescuing students too quickly or confirming every step, the teacher uses moves that sustain thinking. That includes responding to questions in ways that return responsibility to students, encouraging them to test conjectures, consult peers, or refine incomplete ideas. Autonomy becomes a major goal. Students are expected to persist, make decisions, and contribute to the learning process rather than simply await directions. This topic shows how the book connects classroom design with cognition. Furniture arrangement, work surfaces, circulation, and questioning are not secondary management issues. They are part of the instructional architecture that can either create dependence or promote agency and sustain engagement in mathematics. Lastly, assessment consolidation and note-taking in support of deep learning. Beyond task design and collaboration, the book explores how learning is captured, discussed, and evaluated. Lil Jadal challenges conventional assumptions about note-taking, grading, and lesson closure by asking whether these practices actually support student thinking. In many classrooms, notes are copied before understanding develops, and consolidation happens as a teacher summary that students passively receive. The book pushes toward approaches that preserve student sense-making and use consolidation to highlight important mathematical ideas emerging from the work students have done. This makes the end of a lesson an intellectual moment, not just a wrap-up routine. Assessment is treated in a similarly thoughtful way. Rather than centering evaluation on finished products alone, the framework encourages attention to formative information that can guide instruction and support growth. The broader message is that assessment should reinforce the goals of a thinking classroom instead of rewarding compliance or speed. Even homework and grading are examined through this lens. What matters is whether classroom systems help students become more independent and mathematically engaged. This topic is especially valuable because it extends the framework beyond lesson launch and collaboration, showing that a true thinking classroom requires alignment across teaching, feedback, reflection, and the ways learning is made visible over time. Building thinking classrooms in mathematics is best suited for K-12 math teachers, instructional coaches, department leaders, teacher educators, and school administrators who want a concrete model for shifting instruction away from passive procedure following. It is especially useful for educators who feel that student engagement is too often superficial and who want a more coherent way to build classrooms centered on reasoning. Collaboration and independence. One of the book's main practical benefits is that it translates a broad educational problem into specific teaching moves that can be implemented in real classrooms. Readers gain not only a philosophy of teaching mathematics, but also a framework for task design, grouping, classroom setup, questioning, consolidation, and assessment. Intellectually, the book is valuable because it connects everyday routines to larger ideas about how learning happens and why familiar structures can undermine genuine thought. What makes it stand out in the field of math education is the combination of research grounding and operational clarity. Many professional books argue for student-centered learning in general terms. Lil Jadal offers a distinctive system of interrelated practices that teachers can actually test and refine. That mix of conceptual depth and practical usability is why the book has become such an influential resource in contemporary mathematics education. If you would like to support Peter Lil Jadal, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.